Welcome to another episode of the Pastor's Call Podcast. I'm your host, Joel Webb. Before we begin today's episode, I just want to thank the sponsor for the show. It's Blue Water Free Methodist Church, where I have the honor and pleasure of serving. We are an intentional community reflecting Jesus to our world. Well, today I'm very thankful and excited to have on as my guest. She is currently pastor at Center Street Church, which is a free Methodist church over on the western side of Michigan. I want to welcome Jennifer Lynn onto the show.
Hi, thank you.
Well, we're going to do what we always do. We're just going to jump right into it. Just go ahead and tell me a little bit about who you are, your background, and a little bit about what you felt was your call to be a pastor.
Okay. So right out of high school, so I didn't grow up in a Christian home at all. But I went to church with a friend growing up. So that is how I came into the church. So I started going to church in third grade and then all the way through high school. However, I was in and out with being a teenager and doing what I wanted. Not always fully engaged with the Lord. But I went to, I was saved in sixth grade. So it was just such a blessing for the family to always take me to church. So then I went into dental hygiene school right out of high school. So that was what I planned to do. I wanted to be a dental hygienist since I was in ninth grade. So I went to college for that. And I had a baby my second semester. So I was a teen mom and not with his dad. However, he sees his dad. He's been in his life, but we were not together. So I just had kind of a rough start in that. And then, really there's a lot there. However, I'll get to the point of ministry. In 2007, my mom actually had met someone, and this woman was trying to get my mom to come to church. And she's like, we're starting a church and we're going to have a band. And it was like, wow. Like, my mom came to me and she's like, Jenny, like, you should go, you should go to the church. And she, cause she's not going to go, but you should go. And so, my husband and I, we actually were not married at the time, but we went and we started going to this church plant. So we started there the second Sunday that they had opened. Well, at a church plant, if you don't know, there's very little people. So then we very quickly became part of the core team. So in that, my husband was saved and baptized within a year. And really our lives just started changing, of course, our transformation of our hearts. And they needed a youth leader. And so it was like, well, you guys are young, you can do it. So we got thrown into youth ministry, and I grew up going to youth group, but my husband had no idea what that even looked like. And he was a baby Christian. Like, he had no idea about even, the basic thing. So our pastor at the time was really just kind of pouring into him and I. And at one point, he said to me, my pastor said to me, have you ever considered going into ministry? And I'm like, no, I'm a dental hygienist. I've never thought of that. No, I never thought that that'd be a possibility. Never thought of it ever. And he said, well, our church offers some classes and I think that you should just try it and consider it. And if you go to a class and you end up realizing it's not for you, then that's fine, but at least you'll know. And I'm like, okay. So I took a couple classes and my husband went with me, and my call was just really solidified that I'm just supposed to be in ministry, take these classes and be in ministry. So, that's really kind of what started my call. And I really want to reiterate that someone else called that out in me. I didn't know that was my calling. So I just think that's important for us as pastors and anybody to be able to call that out in people when you see potential.
Awesome. So, yeah. Well, and I just love hearing that kind of practical element of, you know, someone else kind of saying, hey, this is something you could be good for, and seeing that call in your life. And then also just kind of hearing, you know, kind of that process of sanctification, you know, from experiences into where God's called you today. So that's wonderful to hear. So then, you know, from that point of initial call, starting to take some classes, just kind of take us on a journey then through leading you to ordained pastoral ministry. What was your education like, or some of your placements and experiences along the way?
Yeah. Okay. So initially I started within the Wesleyan Church. And at the time, they had what was called flame classes. So I would actually sign up for class, and we would go to a camp for a week. And the first half of the week would be one class, and the second half of the week would be another class. So I would get two classes done at once, and then I might have homework afterwards. And so really, that was kind of the process for most of it. Well, then I wasn't taking like a million classes because I had to take time off work, and I'm having now a family and trying to, you know, do all of that. And I really didn't feel like if I were ordained that it would change anything that I was doing in ministry at all. I did bounce around in the church as far as like we started out as youth leaders, but then I went into like women's ministry, and I mean, I was doing all kinds of different things. So, anyhow, my husband and I, we were having kind of a rough time, and we ended up being called to go church plant. So my classes were not yet done, and we went to help start a new church. We were not going to be the pastors, but we were helping to start. So we ended up selling our house, and we moved an hour away and helped to start this new church. And it was, for me, it was great. Like, I loved what I was doing there. And my husband did not love, he was having a rough time with like the connection of community. And my son was in seventh grade at the time, my oldest. And that's just like the worst possible time to move your child. Like, it just wasn't good. So, we decided to move back home. So we came back here. We moved in with my mom for a while because we didn't know what we were doing. And I just really felt discontent with, like, I'm not serving anywhere. I didn't feel called to go back to the previous church. And I just wasn't sure what, and I knew that I needed to be home for my son, especially for school. So I'm like, well, I already was at that church, so now I don't know what to do. And we're in a small town. So one day I was in a restaurant here, and there was a pastor. Her name is Terry. So I saw Pastor Terry in this restaurant and just ran into her. It's a God, divine intervention. She's like, hey, how are you? And I'm like, good. Like, really kind of discontent. And her too, like, I could feel that from her. And she's like, let's meet. And that was on a Sunday. We met Tuesday, and I was at her church the following Sunday, and it was a Free Methodist church. So I started going to church. That was January of 2018. I started going there, and just beautiful, small, super small church. I mean, it really, she needed, she's like, I've been looking for help for revitalization and all of that. So I've been praying for young families to come in and workers and all of that. So I really just kind of jumped in. I started out there as just revitalizing. I was still continuing classes, actually. And then I ended up in that process switching over then to the Free Methodist Church. So I was quickly getting my classes done because Pastor Terry had told me, you might want to get your classes done because I think I'm going to be late. Like, I think I'm being called somewhere else. to go plant somewhere else. And so that would be mean that maybe you could do this. And I'm like, I don't know what I've gotten myself into. Lord, what are you doing? So I really quickly got my classes finished. Towards the end of all of that, the classes ended up being online. Flame classes kind of went by the wayside, and it was all cross training online. So I ended up finishing that way. And then in the Free Methodist Church, I had to take a couple classes. And then I got ordained in 2020. And she officially left in May of 2020 when we were shut down for COVID. So the church knew me. I had already been preaching there. I was at this point the associate pastor, but I came online and I'm like, I'm your new pastor. And so coming back together in June, it was like this, it wasn't weird because we all knew each other, but it was just like coming out of COVID and like their pastor that they, you know, were leaving at that time. It was just kind of weird, but so that's what landed me into this church, the Free Methodist Church, and then what landed me in just even ordination. So yeah, I have since, I quote unquote retired from dental hygiene in August of 2020. However, I still substitute in two offices that I have worked in. So I do that once in a while when it works in my schedule, if they need help. Like I work this week a couple days, I work next week a day, and then I might not work for another month. So it's just kind of sporadic, but yeah. I still do that as well once in a while. So,
so just from your, even in your journey to where you are now, you've had a lot of experience kind of coming in on the ground floor of churches that are just being planted. Mm-hmm. So what have been some of the things that you've kind of gleaned? Like, obviously every community, every church plant is its own unique thing that's, you know, that the Lord is growing, but what have been some kind of principles or things you've witnessed or seen, you know, that could be an encouragement to those who are maybe feeling called into church planting or are in a church plant? Kind of what have some of those experiences, or not necessarily looking for like maxims of church planting, but just kind of things you've seen and experienced that might be helpful to some in those situations?
Yeah, I really think the bottom line for any church, whether it's a church plant, I mean, starting out as a core team, you know, part of the first church that we were part of, and then actually being part of a core team to build up and start right from the ground up. And then here, revitalizing, I really feel like the bottom line principle is evangelism. Like, we have to talk to people. Like, you can't be in an office thinking that your church is going to grow. So no matter what, you have to get out there. And I think that is the number one principle for all churches, no matter where, what part, what stage it's in, I guess.
And maybe that's the thing churches know is true, but don't want to hear, but that's,
it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard. And I think too, like, especially since I've been a pastor, like a lead pastor now, and I didn't, you know these things before as not the pastor, but it's a lot. I mean, you're taking on a lot of people's emotional baggage. You're dealing with broken hearts. You're dealing with wounds and healing. And, you know, in the middle of that, you might have someone pass away, and then you're doing a funeral, and then you're still preparing for a sermon on Sunday. Like, pastoring is a lot of work. And so to think that, like, I have to get out there and go talk to people, it can feel, I think, draining. But we have to remember what it feels like to be lost.
Definitely an encouragement for all of us to remember that, because we've all had that moment where we know, you know, we have been saved by the gift of Christ, and remember the before, I think, to appreciate that. So, you know, coming in, so you came in as pastor at a unique time then, not even just to this church, but freshly ordained. And now you're you'd been associate pastor, but now lead pastor. So, you know, everybody in ministry has been experiencing this together in different ways over the last couple of years, kind of post COVID. And so what has there been any kind of changes or differences that have been unique for you kind of coming out, you know, starting in the midst of COVID and, you know, now coming out? Like, were there certain conceptions that were developed in COVID that now aren't true now that you're kind of, now that we're outside of that initial context of what the pandemic did?
Wow. That's a lot. So initially our church was a revitalization. Mm-hmm. So we were a small church and then trying to, you know, we were creating growth and we saw that, greatly before COVID. So since, you know, 2018, when I came in January to 2020, we had great growth. I mean, we're a small church, so it was slow but sure, but it was happening. And then COVID hit, and then you come back from that, and it's, then you're starting over again. It just has really felt like a revitalization kind of all over again, because you have to, now you're pulling from a small group of people. I need help on worship. I need help on tech team. I need someone to do children's ministry. I mean, you have all of these things that like you're trying to put back together, yeah, and not everybody is there who was there before now. Mm-hmm. So it's just been a challenge.
Yeah.
I feel like we are just now starting to come out of the effects that COVID has had. Like just now in the last, probably since January, I've seen growth again. And I see this, it's interesting because of the Asbury revival and all the revivals that we see going on, but I just feel like there's such a revival that this year, like people are hungry for the Lord, or they're hungry for something that they don't know what, you know, but they're hungry. And so going back to evangelism, like now is the time. Like people are wanting it now more than what I have seen. So.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. And we're, you know, we're all excited and expectant, you know, for whatever the Lord is wanting to do. And we want to certainly remain open and receptive to that. So something that I found interesting that I had, you know, I had seen, I'd noticed that you had done a run for school board in your area.
Yeah.
I didn't think this was initially going to come up, but wanted to kind of want to throw this out there. So what has been the, I don't want to use the word instigation because that's negative, but what inspired that run? What has that process since then looked like? Because I believe you won, correct? So you're on you're on the school board. Yeah. And maybe touch on that, because we live in a culture where a lot of pastors are, they don't want to, you know, we don't want to be political in the sense of being, you know, on one part for one party or the other, but are still afraid to be political in any sort of way. And regardless of how it's seen, you know, that is a political office. It's an elected office. Yeah. So a lot of pastors are fearful to even touch even school board positions because of that. But you went ahead, yeah, you did it, you ran, especially in the time that we're living in. There's a lot of, you know, charged emotions when it comes to school boards. And so what inspired you for that? What was there any pushback from people? And then what has been kind of your hope that you seek to accomplish, you know, as being part of your local school board?
Great questions. I first have to give this disclaimer that I am a peacemaker. Like that is my nature. I don't like to hurt and be hurt. I don't want to wreck the boat in any way. You know, we've had a lot of politically charged since I've been at this church. We've had a lot of political polarized things happen in our culture and society. I am the least likely person to bring it up because I see things on both sides because I'm a peacemaker. Like, I'm like, oh yeah, I see what you're saying. And then I'm like, yeah, I get that too. And then I'm just like, I just feel like I'm really in the middle all the time because I just really feel people's hearts and what they're saying. I don't think that people are on either side of politics. I don't think people really want to be malicious they really are just passionate about what they think and believe and feel. And I have both sides in my church. I mean, so I just really try to be in the middle. I do have my own beliefs. I mean, there is that, but I'm very, like, to everybody else, I'm very centered, and in the middle. So with that, I was approached by a couple community members, actually, who had said, you know, maybe you should run for the school board. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know. And actually, I was approached a few years ago, and it just wasn't the right time for me. I was like, yeah, no, like, that's not for me. Like, the timing just wasn't good. But it came up again this time. And so I was like, well, I'll pray about it. We'll see. I'll pray about it. Well, probably a week before our Free Methodist Annual Conference. Were you there, Joel?
Yeah, it was in Spring Arbor, right? Yep.
Yeah, a week before that, I had told my husband, I'm like, you know, the school board thing, I don't think I'm going to run because I'm just not hearing anything from God. So I'm pretty sure it's a no. And he's like, okay, well, I think you should. You'd be good at it, but whatever. I support you. And I went to the conference, and I have just been in prayer for this. Like, is this something I should do or not? I am already extremely busy. Like, my schedule is crazy almost every day. So to add something else just seemed really insane. That would be the only, one of your questions in that was, is there any pushback that you've had? That was one thing that was a pushback even for me. And I think that my church, they haven't said it necessarily, but I do think that that has been a concern for them. Like, aren't you already busy enough? Like, you're doing everything. So that I think was a pushback. But anyhow, at the conference, I was praying and I heard twice the Lord say, you need to at least run and let the people decide. So I went back home and I'm like, well, remember I was saying about the school board? I think I'm actually going to run now. I think I heard from the Lord, like, he is saying, he told me twice at that conference, yes. And he's like, okay, I told you, you should do it anyways. So that's how I initially came into running. We had five people running, and there were three positions. And truly, any of the five would have been very great for our community. So in the process of it, I was like, I just felt peace either way. Like, the Lord, you know, of course, I was also like, well, if I don't get elected, then I don't know why you took me through this process, Lord, right? But I knew I would learn something. Now we are coming up. You are right that we have politically charged things in our schools. I mean, this is really, you know, people have a lot of emotions and opinions and things about a lot of things that are in our schools. I am called to be a light in our world, no matter what the context is, whether it's in a political spot or not. And I'm just going to continue to follow that call. I will, if I have to be the only one to vote against something, I'm willing to do that. However, people don't understand that you're a school board. That means it's a board. There's many people. One vote against everyone else is not going to make the difference. It's still going to be a majority vote. So whatever I say, it can maybe, it will influence how everyone is thinking, but at the same time, the majority vote is what really matters. So I have known of another pastor being on a school board, and this person voted no on something and everyone else said yes. And then at the end, they recanted and said, you know, just for the unanimity of it all, I'm just going to say yes. And it's really because we're a team. It's not individually. And I did not go into the school board election process in any way with an agenda for our school. my agenda is to be the light of the world. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm doing. Well, I'm with God. I am trying to do that. Yeah. I'm surrendering to him. So.
Well, and it's just interesting hearing some of that in this area here in Port Huron area. I had a friend of mine who ran for school board. He felt very clearly from God to run, but he lost. Through that experience, it was things, you know, the Lord's taught him and it's given him a passion for things, you know, in our community. And I think that can't be, you know, overstated. You know, I appreciated in my interview with Linda Adams that we had talked about, you know, we talked about this thought of love driven justice. And you know, regardless of what the one side or the other says about justice, at the end of the day, it has to be grounded by the truth of Scripture. And I think that can be unnerving for people on both sides. You know, because sometimes it's not as black and white. You know, there are certain statements that are very, very clear, you know, that we lines that don't get crossed, but then there's a lot where it's not like that. And that can be uncomfortable for people on both sides of the political aisle. And I think that's something that, you know, maybe pastors are a little more apt to be able to do if they're not as influenced by their own agenda. So thank you. I appreciate and thank you for doing that and demonstrating that, because I know there'd be a lot of pastors who wouldn't be comfortable doing that because it is political. But I'm sure it'll be a life-giving experience, and I hope that the gospel will be able to be presented at some point, you know, even in those closed doors with the other board members. I'm sure there's those opportunities.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, thank you for that.
It's good. So just in your short time now, you know, only a handful of years being a pastor, what's been something that even from a couple years ago looking at, that's been a lesson that you've gained, you know, since then that might be encouragement to others who are just coming into it?
I don't know if, well, I alluded already to the fact that it is a lot of work. Being a woman in a pastoral role, I think, is really underestimated by the world with how much, I'm not saying it's not difficult to be a pastor as a man. I am not saying that at all. But as a woman, we are a mom. We are a wife. We're doing the housework. I'm doing the laundry in between writing and reading and, you know, like where I'm running kids to sports and appointments, and I'm doing all of that and pastoring. Mm-hmm. Like it is a lot. And I feel like that's kind of underestimated, just from maybe people's perspective of like, I don't know, just being a man, I feel, and again, I'm not saying that's not difficult, but all of that I don't feel like that's maybe on their shoulders because the wife is home doing that stuff, or she's working and then coming home to do that stuff. So, I mean, obviously it's a partnership. So there's that one. I don't know if this is a lesson or something that I just want everyone to be hyper aware of, is that as a pastor, we are always being attacked. And that's not talked about. I don't want to be on this podcast and for everyone to think like, wow, she just has it all together and figured out, and like pastoring's amazing. Like, it's just the best thing ever. It is the best thing ever. Like, following God's call is the best thing ever. And that's the being obedient to that is the best thing that we could ever do. However, we are under excessive attack all the time. Our marriages are under attack. Our children are under attack. If it's not my family, it's the worship team, or it's something within the church, or the printer doesn't want to work at church. I mean, there's, you know, like that sounds so like insignificant, but it's like, we're just under attack all the time. And we need to, if we're moving God's kingdom, we are going to be under attack. And I just think that we need to always put on the armor of God, and we always need to be steadfast in our faith.
Well, definitely an encouragement. You know, sometimes some of the more rudimentary things in quotes, you know, like putting on the armor of God can kind of get put to the wayside for more spiritual sounding things. But there's a truth to that, that, you know, if you're not facing fire, you're not moving in the right direction. So
right.
Definitely appreciate that. Well, there's a Spurgeon quote I love. He talks about living in the Bible, but reading many good books. And, you know, we've been changed through the power of the Holy Spirit by the word of God. But what's been one of those other good books that's been impactful for you individually or ministry-wise, or that you've just enjoyed?
Yeah, so it's called Faithful Presence by David E. Fitch, and it is the 7 disciplines that shape the church for mission. And it says that shape the church for mission, but you are the church. We are the church as individuals. So this really is for a person, but the church overall too. There's so much good information in here. It's discipline of the Lord's table and what that looks like and what it looks like for us as individuals, and then bringing in our close circle. What does that look like in our close circle? And then what does that look like for our whole community? In every discipline, it brings those aspects in. The discipline of proclaiming the gospel. We need to be proclaiming the gospel every single Sunday. That sometimes gets lost. The discipline of being with the least of these. So these are really just transformational. This has been a transformational book for sure. It's drawn me closer to the Lord's Spirit. So, and it's about faithful presence, being in His presence, and us being in His and drawing into that.
Well,
in all areas, like no matter where we are. So it's great.
Well, definitely appreciate that recommendation. As I've been doing now, that book will be in the show notes if you want to take a look at that.
Yeah.
And Jennifer, I just want to thank you so much for taking some of your time out of your busy schedule to join me on an episode of The Pastor's Call and just sharing a little bit of your story.
Of course. Thanks for having me. It's been fun.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Jennifer. I also want to thank Blue Water Free Methodist Church, who sponsors this show. We are an intentional community reflecting Jesus to our world. I also want to thank you, the listener, for joining us on another episode. You can find this podcast wherever podcasts are found. Please like it, subscribe to it, put a rating for us, share it with your family and friends, share it with your pastor, and we'll see you next week on the next episode of The Pastor's Call. God bless you.